lyrics are.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast. I think as of now, we don't really have anybody in the chat room talking to us, but that's fine. Today we are, of course, going to continue on our cooperative world-building exercise through the Dawn of Worlds PDF that we got. We're entering into the second age this time with the Age of Races, and I think hopefully we'll burn through it pretty quick this time, so we'll do what we can. but if, of course, anybody's got any questions or anything you want to say about it, feel free to shoot us an email off the website, hit us on the forums, etc. Not much more to say. That's what we're doing today. Of course, we've got a three-parter and some random encounters to go over, but we will be back after this.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
And we are back. And as we said in the intro today, we're doing more Dawn of Worlds cooperative world-building. See, in the last episode, we finished up the first age, which is what age is that called?
Age of world creation. Isn't
the
it?
Age of land, the first age, land, where we had lots of races.
We didn't build much land.
And didn't build much land.
Actually,
in fact,
we did a lot of land building. It's just it doesn't seem like that much.
Yeah, and I became the evil god of lakes.
Yeah,
and buzzard men. Let's see, in the last turn, Jeremy created the Gate of Oblivion in the Black Sands Desert, a portal to the world of the dead, and it's open. My avatar created a city for the race of Azer that live in the ice forest, because that's the only place they can live where it's comfortable. And he commands them that their cities have flaming spires, so the city itself is pretty much on fire. Nathan, you had one of your avatars, Darren, and his humans built a city on the northern island, the city of Portsmouth, and Silithus advanced the Rakastas into expert spies. And then you created some planes. So, and that was the end of the first age. And now we're entering the first turn in the second age. Jeremy, what do we do? Same as before?
Same as before. And now we're in the Age of Races.
Now, are we still getting bonuses to what we roll?
We'll start over.
It's a new. Okay, so you have, Jeremy, you have 1 point banked. Nathan, you have 1 point banked. I have none. All right. Well, I get a mighty 8.
Altogether, I'm at 10.
Nathan, what'd you get?
I rolled a 12.
Alright, so you have 13 points.
Where's the... Let's see, let me grab the sheet for this.
Alright, in this new section, shaping an inch of land now costs 5 points, an inch of climate costs 4 points, creating a race costs 6 points, creating a sub-race costs 4 points, Commanding a race, 4 points. Command city, 4 points. Advanced civilization, 5 points. Advanced city, 4 points. Purify civilization, 3 points. Corrupt civilization, 3 points. Corrupt city, 2 points. Event is only 7 points. Create an order is 6 points. Command orders, 3 points. Create avatar is 7 points. Command avatar is 1 point. And catastrophe is still 10 points. A 1-inch catastrophe.
All right, so...
So what are you doing here, Jeremy?
First thing I'm doing is... I will command... Was it Fillmore?
I believe Fillmore was, yes.
The one avatar. I will command him to do...
The creepy frog guy is Fillmore, yep. Right?
Yes.
He's going to, again, corrupt the Snotling race.
All right, so you corrupt the Snotlings even more. Let's see. Where were they at? Corrupts is not... They were at evil level 4.
Sweet.
So they're now evil level 5. And so that's 1 point, right? Because you're commanding Fillmore to do it. So that's 1 point to command the avatar. So you have 9 points left.
My other avatar, was it Argos?
Okay. Yeah, Argos, the guy who created the gnomes.
That sounds right.
The gnomes already have... What do the gnomes have already? They have, like,
yes,
mining.
It's Argos.
Just trying to remember what specialties the gnomes have.
Let's see. The gnomes are good. They advance into mining and farmers.
Okay.
And are very pure and have a city and are metallurgists. They have metallurgy.
Metallurgy. Well, I'm going to also advance the civilization.
Advance the gnomes?
Yep, the advance the gnomes. So now they have steam. They have started on the steampunk.
So they have steam technology. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's another point. You have 8 points left.
You mean?
To command your avatar is one. You're commanding your avatar to do that stuff, remember?
Oh, yeah, 5, 6.
Can we influence other people's races that they've created?
Yeah, you can.
Sweet.
I think you have to have your avatar go to them first, because we determined last time.
Yeah, the avatar has to wander over there. Okay, and then I have 8 left. So, I am going to...
All right.
Create a race with 6 points. That'll leave me 2.
What race are you creating?
The Necrofin.
Necrofin?
They are a race of creepy dead people.
Race of dead people.
Creepy dead people.
Are they evil?
No, they're neutral.
All right. Which leaves you with 1 point left over, right? So 6 have 2 points. Yes, 2 points left over.
And the Necrofin civilization live at the edge of the Black Sands Desert near the Gate of Oblivion. So maybe they weren't necessarily created, but they wandered out. Who knows? So I will save my 2 points. Or I could corrupt a city with it. That would be pretty funny, too. Now, I'm done.
Alrighty. Well, I'm going to do what everyone is expecting me to do, and I'm corrupting the Buzzardmen again to evil 7.
So messed up.
Yes. which what? The corrupt civilization costs 3 points. That leaves me with 5, which I will go ahead and use 5 points to. Oh gosh. I'm going to. Five points. What? Let's see. All right. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and advance the civilization of the Azer through my avatar. Mm-hmm. So they now have engineering.
Spiffy.
So that still leaves me with 4 points left, because that's only 1 point to do that. I'm going to go ahead and... we're going to... What races do we have, anyway?
Whole freaking list.
Let's see. We've got, what, the humans?
The froglocks.
Froglocks.
The tadlocks.
The snotlings.
Snotlings.
The Rakastas. The vulturemen.
Well, the buzzard men.
Dwarves. Buzzardmen.
Azers.
Gnomes.
Dwarves. Gnomes.
Elves.
I don't think we have elves yet.
They created elves.
Nobody created elves? I thought someone created elves and made them evil.
So we have humans, froglocks, tadlocks, snotlings, rakastas, buzzardmen, dwarves, azers, and gnomes. Does that sound about right?
Yep. Oh, and the necrofin.
Oh, and the necrofin, yes.
It's a silent age.
It's a silent age. Oh, what?
P-H-E-N?
Necro...
With an M.
Necro-P-H-I-N, what?
There's no I in that. Come on.
Fem.
Get it right.
P-H-E-M.
Fem? Okay, spell it, Jeremy.
I already did. It's a silent H. Necro-fem. P-H-M.
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 Alrighty. I'm going to smack you some point. All
it's
right.
It's necro.
Yes.
Do you need me to spell necro?
Maybe, I do.
It has a silent H also.
So they're just a race of dead guys.
Well,
with a lot of H's in their name.
Yeah, lots of H's.
Right.
No one's sure if they're dead or undead, but they're creepy.
And the Tadlocks are a subrace of the Froglocks.
Because it was cheaper to create.
I think that's the only subrace we have, right?
Yeah, so far.
So far.
Okay.
Unless you create, like, parrot people from...
That would be funny, and they live in the jungle with the Rakastas. They're good, the Rakastas are evil, and they're constantly fighting each other. Cats versus birds. That's actually funny.
Oh, you could do that, is the thing.
Yeah, I could.
I'm going to go ahead and create a subrace of the Necrofems.
Are they living?
Yes!
The zombie fem.
That are the necrofem.
The macrofem.
No.
Microfem.
Yeah, they're microfem.
The micro.
Oh. Oh, let's go with. That's not showing me. That's fine. All right, we're going to go ahead. I'll call them the Protofem.
The Protofem. Silent H.
Silent H, of course, yes.
Where do you want the Protofem?
Should I make the Garfem?
That's up to you. But the Garfem, their H is not always silent.
Where are the Protofem or the Necrofem?
Necrofem are right on the border there.
Okay.
They worship the gate.
They worship the gate. Okay.
Like the gate is life.
Or death.
Or death. Whichever. We even get confused.
Okay, I'm going to create a subrace. There we go.
Well, they don't get confused, but no. I get confused, so I just created him and let him do what they want to.
Like, you're like, you guys go figure out whatever you're going to do. I'm out of here.
I'm creating the proto fan right above them.
And then the war of the Fim begins we all scream.
And they worship the Necro Fim as God.
Okay, well, now we're going to have somebody who worships the proto Fim. Yeah.
And that leaves me with, let's see, no points. So, Nathan, it's to you.
Hang on one second. Sorry, guys, I have to do homework.
So you're creating homework?
Actually, I'm uploading my project that's worth like 2,000 points out of a 3,000 point class to the...
I don't think you have any points, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I've only got 13 points.
Yeah, you're going to... It sucks to be you.
Yeah, I have no idea what the heck I'm going to do here.
All right.
Come on, where is it? Damn it. Ah, screw it. Okay, I have 13 points.
You have 13 points, my friend.
Okay. I'm actually going to create a... I'm going to create... Yeah, a race. I have 13 points. I can create 2 races. I'm going to create the race of elves. And the race of elves live on this northern continent. And the forest is not the iced forest.
So the one across the way.
Yeah, the one across the way. Hey. Whatever, another portion, I go to the hell with that.
All right, leaves you with 7 points left.
I think he's going to create another race.
I'm going to create another race. I'm going to create an aquatic race that live in... where's the biggest lake that we have?
That one.
I think you're right.
The rest of the answer.
Actually, we're going to create a race of ice giants that live on this frozen continent here. This ice continent.
Okay.
So you create the ice giants.
Called Svensk. Svensk. They're huge, lumbering, intelligent people.
So the Svensk.
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 Svensk. Yeah, I like the way that word sounds.
Family. All right, Jeremy, we are to now turn 2 in this age.
Okay, so I have
1 point left.
So we all get a +1 if we're under 5. So 8, 10, I'm at 11.
So you all get a +1. Because, yes, Nathan, you say...
I saved 1 point.
So you have 1, yeah. So you have 1, you have 2, I have none. Okay. So, Jeremy, how many points do you have now?
8, 10, 11.
Nathan?
I haven't rolled yet, sorry.
Can you add 3, 4, 5, 6, 7?
No, 1 and 1 is 2, plus 5 is 7.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. The way you were adding it up, it sounded like you're going iron. I'm like, no, not that many.
All right, well, I'm spending 7 points on the event, and the event... is creating
a new continent?
Nope.
Well, it's event 7 points. What's your event, Jeremy?
There is now a kraken. It is the kraken.
Oh, great!
And it likes to live in this ocean. It has giant eyes. And its name is Bruce. What do I want its name to be?
Bruce.
Its name is Bruce.
Alrighty.
Named after his lawyer.
And we're talking like a huge kraken. Like
the kraken of the legends.
Yeah, sure. It's like the size of this island here.
Okay.
So that's
so
my...
So the huge kraken at 7 points.
Uh-huh. Then I'm going to burn off 2 more points because I'm going to be commanding my avatars. So Fillmore commands... the city of the Cadlocks to build. Let's see, what does he have so far? He's got a giant pyramid. Oh, he has a.
He has a ziggurat, doesn't he?
Has a ziggurat, but they also have the giant lantern thing.
Uh huh, the lighthouse.
So, they will build the giant Colosseum of Death. Where they will put snotlings
gladiatorial combat.
Yeah.
And throw race
versus snotlings.
And people that they fight in wars, the prisoners of war, they throw into the arenas. And
well, at this point, they only snotlings were created as a slave race. So. And
they're evil.
Oh yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have to interrupt for a second. This is got to be the lamest promotional stunt I've ever seen any company do. Steve Jobs sent the Chilean miners, you know, who were stuck in that cave for months, sent them free iPods.
That was nice of him.
They could sell them for food.
yeah, Argos, pretty much.
Hmm. See, there's a Kraken and Bruce. Argos is going to command the gnomes to build, using their steam power and their metallurgy, that he's going to command them to build a servant and or army race type thing. It's not an actual race. They're like steampunk soldiers.
Servant army of steam soldiers.
Yeah.
So they made automatons.
Basically.
That's freaking sweet.
All right, Jeremy.
And then 7, 8, 9, 10 left.
2 more points left.
2. Well, then I'm going to, with my 2 points, I'm going to corrupt the Tadlock city. Not the whole race, but the city. Because, well, you know, it's pretty evil.
Isn't that where the snotlings come from?
The Tadlocks live there, the snotlings.
That's where the snotlings are slaves, right? Okay. So the city is corrupt because of the snotlings, but...
How the snotlings are used to power everything and used for the glory of the Tadlock Empire and for amusement.
Well, let's see. The Tadlock City itself?
Yeah.
Okay. They really haven't been screwed with at all.
Nope, but they're going to start the...
Okay, so now Tadlock City is...
Just from the... aura of the evil
city is evil one. So you are out of points, and now it's to me. I am going to. I have a mighty 8 points. I like the idea of the parakeet race, the parrot race,
the parrot race.
Mm-hmm. And I will do it if you don't.
That's fine.
So
go ahead.
I will go ahead and spend 4 points to
create a sub race.
Create the sub race. From the buzzer, the sub-race of... Oh, gosh.
The Parrox. P-A-R-R-O-X.
That works fine. P-A-R-R-O-X.
Yeah, Parrox.
With a silent H.
Yeah, with a silent H in there somewhere. P-H-A-R-R-O-X. Parrox.
From the Buzzard Man. -4.
Okay,
so Buzzard Man have the Parrox. And now I have 4 points left. I'm going to go ahead and...
Where do the Parrox live?
In
the jungle.
Yes, I want them to live in the jungles.
Nice, big, huge aviaries in the tops of the trees. The jungles.
The...
Which jungles? Yeah, that's a good point. There's 2 jungles.
The ones near the Rakastas.
Okay, the northern jungles.
This
one?
Yeah. How are you spelling it?
P-A-R-R-O-X. And then I'm going to command. I'll command my avatar to purify the race of Azers.
Oh.
So they're good at good. I think that puts them at. Yeah, good level 2. And then with my mighty 3 points left over, I'm going to go ahead. Oh, we'll go ahead and corrupt the Buzzard Men one more time. So the Buzzard Men are now, let's see, what was that? Evil level 8.
Holy crap.
What about who had the avatar that was the dragon?
That's me. He did stuff.
Did we mention him on the list? I don't remember.
I think so.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I didn't.
Anyway, Nathan, you're up with 7 points.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to spend 1 point to command my avatar, Darren, of the humans, to advance the civilization, making them masters in, and steel crafting. So they make the finest steel items in the world.
6 points left.
I'm going to spend the other 6 points to create a new race. I'm going to create the race. Oh, don't we already have halflings?
Nope.
We have gnomes.
And the hills to the south of the Great Forest on the main continent, the race of the halflings lives. Oh, that's not hills, is it?
That's a ravine.
I thought that was nice. Okay, on these hills that are just south of the mountain above the Necrophim?
Necrophim and the halflings Protophim?
Yeah, the halflings live. And they worship no man.
Who is no man? Who is no man? All right. We're on to turn three, so we're adding what, two?
If we're below five,
which I think we're all at zero.
Yeah, so
we all earned through a point.
So I just got 12.
8, 9, 10. So I got 10.
Well,
I'm
at 12.
Nathan?
I dropped one of my dice.
Add two to whatever you roll, so.
I got 8.
All right, Jeremy, 12 points. Go.
Okay. So, Argos, he is doing a kind of, it's a sub-race or an event. It doesn't really matter. Basically, the mechanical soldiers gain sentience.
Okay, so you're commanding what now?
Well, basically, they're a race. They're the mechanical...
But you're doing it through...
I'm using with Argos is doing it. I'm commanding him to...
Using his one thing to create a race.
So, and the gnomes, being good gnomes, immediately free them, so now they live side by side.
What are they called, the race calling themselves?
The Robotics.
R-O-B-O-T-I-X. X? Okay.
We like X's. So the Robotics live with the gnomes.
That's 1 point.
All right, so you have 11 points left.
The other point is going to be spent on Fillmore, who is going to...
Dance? Well, he always dances. That's how he commands, as he dances.
He's going to advance the Snotlings to be masters of assassination.
Alrighty. So the Snotlings are master assassins. Great. That's fabulous.
I see something bad coming out of that.
Alright. Now, I am spending, since you have such evil critters.
Evil buzzard men? They're only evil level 8.
Only. My event is...
Their city is an evil level 9.
My event is their evil has bored a hole through the world into the hells below. And something has come out. It is something.
A hole in the world where...
To the hells.
Something comes from the hell.
And we're just going to name it the hell hole.
Hellhole, and that event is what? 7 points, alright.
And probably your hawk, vulture, whatever men are probably like, yeah! It worked! Finally, it worked! So I have 3 points.
We finally ate enough of our own babies! Yay! Alright, so that's what? 7, 8, 9. You have 3 points left.
Right, and I burn off my last 3 points to corrupt the Tadlock City again.
All right, so you corrupt the Tadlock City to evil 2.
So with the evil of the city, what are the Snotlings in?
With the evil of the city, the Snotlings? Oh, yeah. God, whatever.
Six or
the,
five or six.
See, the Snotlings were at... corrupt the Tadlock City. they're at with the corrupted city, they're at a 7.
Ah!
So evil level 5 normally.
All right.
Very nice.
All right, what am I going to do? Let's see. I am going to... Now, when we create a race here, they're pretty much Stone Age, right?
Basically.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, though, even though they...
We can fix that.
Well, but no, let's say they fight, okay? Yeah, they're coming in right now, but it's kind of assumed if they're near another race, they're going to learn the basics, but that basic doesn't come into effect because the other guys are advanced at it.
Right.
So they would get the bonus and the other race wouldn't.
Okay.
So, there's robot people, but... Yeah.
All right.
They're okay at mining. They're not...
I'm going to... Yeah. Oh.
There's no create city.
Or do something.
It's just commanding.
Commanding the race?
Yeah, you can command the race to build a city.
Can you command an avatar to build a city?
Yeah. But there won't be anybody in it.
Why won't there be anybody in it?
Because they didn't build an empty city. But then you could command your race to send some people to the city.
That's true.
Because basically it's a city.
So why command your avatar to build a city when if you command the race to build a city, they immediately inhabit it? Whereas to command a civilization...
The first thing I do is I command the buzzardmen order that I created a while back, to now create a cathedral of darkness above the hellhole.
I don't know, we can call it, I mean, whatever.
Yes, they build a cathedral of darkness to harness the power of the hellhole. And then... use my last 7 points to basically cause an event from that the by harnessing the power of the hellhole, the area of the buzzard men here is shrouded in eternal darkness.
it's like freaking Mordor or whatever the hell it is.
Yes, it's like Mordor with the buzzard men.
Yeah.
Giant eye.
And they used to be hot people, but then as they got evil,
they became twisted buzzards, yeah. Yes. All right, Nathan.
I have 8 points.
You have 8 points.
Well, I'm missing 6. Oh, I've already done that. Never mind. I'm going to... going to spend 6 points to purify civilizations. One purify civilization, 1 corrupt civilization. The corrupt civilization is on the Rakastas, and the purify civilization is on the humans.
Alright, so you...
Hi, kitty.
Corrupt the humans and purify...
No, corrupt the Rakastas.
Corrupt the Rakastas.
Purify humans.
Purify.
So that gives the humans a good 2 and the Rakastas a bad 2. And I have 2 points left, and that's all I'm going to do. As Becca proceeds to log into the race of men on Lord of the Rings Online. To all of you out there who tried to get Angry Birds today, I am terribly sorry.
Alrighty, we are at turn 4. I think we're gonna go ahead and stop at turn 5 tonight, I think.
I thought you might find this funny, Ethan. The Angry Birds game finally got onto the Android system. You know, that game where you threw
uh-huh.
Yeah, they went free on Android, and the demand was so high it nuked the servers.
So I rolled Snake Eyes, so with the plus 3 now, I'm at 5.
I'm at 10.
And I'm at 11. All right, Jeremy, with your mighty 5 points, what do you do?
Okay. Fillmore.
I'm sorry.
Creates.
So I have 12, right?
Oh, right. I forgot.
Fillmore creates the. For the Snotlings. This is a hidden religious order. It's the religious order of Daryl, Daryl, and Daryl. The three-faced god of assassins.
Lie, cheat, and steal?
And all the and each Daryl is spelled differently?
Those are silent H's.
Okay.
Damn you and those silent H's.
Alright, so that's a point. My other guy, Argos.
There. The Order of Daryl, Daryl, and Daryl. It's D-H-A-R-Y-L, Daryl, D-H-A-R-R-E-L, and Daryl, D-H-A-R-I-L. And what race was this amongst?
The Snotlings.
The three-faced god. You should have just named it the god Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
And how many points was that?
Because that was commanding my avatar.
Oh, right.
And I.
And that was what, Fillmore?
Yeah.
All right, so you got 4 points.
Argos will command. Well, actually, he will advance the robotics. So now they are warriors.
Oh, they're advanced in warrior skills, huh?
Gotta have something to protect the gnomes. Gnomes are small and squishy.
That's true.
So 3 points.
Okay. Yes, 3 points left.
3 points. So I command the order to send Snotling assassins to the vulture people and offer their services up.
Let's see. And so you commanded the order was 3 points. Sorry.
Yeah, so basically, Fillmore creates.
And the buzzard people go,
yes, yes. Do they look like Skeksis now?
Yes, but they have wings. They're actually feathered with wings. Black feathers, of course.
Yes, yes.
You mean they don't just hover around on evil, creepy chaos like...
They refuse to touch the ground because it is unclean, and they are carried around by beetles.
That's awesome.
All right. For that, I need to corrupt civilization once again.
Are they little beetles or giant beetles? Because it'd be hilarious if it was thousands of little beetles.
It's thousands of little beetles.
Do you have an avatar for your?
I did. It was a giant pillar of black fire, but it decided they were fucked up and wrong and went and created the Aether instead.
You should create a new vulture king avatar called Hum Ahpu. Which was the Mayan.
At some point, something's gonna crawl out of that pit with an event.
Oh, let's see. So that makes the Buzzard Men an evil level 9.
See, I like linking.
And I believe in the city that makes it evil level like 11 or 12 or something.
So the Snotlings feel almost at home when they show up.
All right. Yes, and something does actually crawl out of that pit. It is a new avatar.
Somewhere far. Very far away. No, was it? Here we go.
The Avatar of Skaxis.
Skaxis.
With 3 S's.
Something crawls through the slime of the dark Scottish loch.
So, your name is Skaxis. No, my name is Skaxis.
No, that's Skaxis. Nathan, you have 12 points.
Well, I'm going to spend 7 points creating an avatar. An avatar rises from the jungles for the Rakastas, and his name is Chak.
Chak.
Jaguar God.
I am Chak!
That's actually a real deity.
That's that.
Yeah, so I have 5 points left, right?
So you have 5 points left,
he still
yes.
has to scream everything.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to advance the civilization of the Jaguarmen or the Jaguarmen, the Rakastas.
The Rakastas.
They are now
through chalk. Having chalk.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Can I just mean okay? The Avatar Kia advances their race by one level and makes them masters
of the universe.
No.
I have the power.
So one of the Rakastas is like an evil He-Man.
That'd be scary. No, makes them masters of nature magic, like. Yeah, you know, making plants attack people and crap.
Alrighty, so that's 1 point to command.
And they have
so
4 points left.
4 points left.
So I'm going to advance I'm going to actually command the civilization. That's 4 points, right? Command race. Where's that?
Command a whole race is 4 points.
Okay, yes. I'm going to command the race of the.
And you have to have either if you created them, you have an order, if you have an avatar.
I have an avatar there now. The Rakastas now are going to build the stepped pyramid city. Of where did it go? Hang on, I just had the name of it. It's an awesome name. Yeah, Xbalanque. I think it's pronounced Xblanque.
Xbalanque.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Xblanque. Xblanque. And it's right on the lake, like right on the bottom of the lake. So there's a city here, a walled city.
Your parrot people need to like. Create invisibility or something like that because we're masters of camouflage. I'm standing on your shoulder and you don't see me.
I wondered why my back felt so heavy.
Because I've been shitting on you all day.
Oh boy, we're gonna have to clean this puppy up real
probably
bad.
All right, Jeremy, we are to the next turn. We all have 0 points. So and we're at still just a plus. It's maxed out at plus 3, right? So right.
9, 10, 11, 12.
Same here. Nathan, what do you got?
12. 9 plus 3 is 12.
We all got 9 plus 3. We all got 12. How amusing is this? Alrighty.
Alright, so Fillmore, because he finds it funny, the Snotlings are now also masters of not just assassination, but poison.
Oh, God.
All right. 11 points left. Jeremy?
Argos will create a race of... No, he won't. Argos is going to sit there for a second because I don't know what I want him to do. I am going to... What is the word I'm searching for? Okay. So I am going to advance the Tadlock civilization. And they are now... This is not going to help them a lot. They are masters of gluttony. So they are so fat upon their slaves.
So they look like hutties?
They can... They are masters of gluttony.
So you yourself are advancing them. That's 5 points.
Right. So I have six left.
Yes.
I think Argos is going to advance the gnomes to give them the science. Well, they're already steamcraft. Science of alchemy.
So 5 points left.
And then 5 points, I'm creating a sub-race. So we have got the proto fin, necrofin, lovely, I am going to create the microfin that worship the protofin.
And then we're going to create the nanofem that worship the microfem, which worship the protofem, which worship the necrofem.
Yes.
And they're going to be this big. They're an annoying race. They stab people.
But like the microfem are actually evil.
One evil?
Yeah. They believe that the protofem...
Well, let's see. I never actually chose one for
they're
mine.
They're neutral, then.
Yeah.
For races where you don't choose...
I just need to note it. Yes, you have 1 point left.
And I will save it for next time. And Fillmore will dance!
All right, so they're neutral.
I can see the race of Tadlocks being
like
destroyed as a power by their own slaves.
That's possible. You could do a one-inch catastrophe, be like the Snotlings revolt and destroy the Tadlocks.
Actually, you could also just you could also
actually I'm going to event. I didn't I'm going to go ahead and make the protofem good.
Okay,
that's made hilarious. Them good because I think it's funny.
So you got neutral.
Good and evil. Evil, yes. And I think that just is funny. All right.
This continent is silly. Don't go
Microfim.
There.
All righty.
Tackling's living in the mountain or in the hills.
And you have, Jeremy, have 1 point left, which you're saving. All right.
I guess I could move my avatar since that's not an epic thing, but...
You still have to command the avatar. You know,
yeah, just as a move, but I'm not going to do that.
It's not a big deal. All righty. Let's see. Page down. I am going to. I'm going to advance the race of Parox.
To be poisonous if they're eaten?
I'm going to advance the race of Parox into masters of strategy.
Oh, good idea.
Right, now. You stand over there, and the rest of us will run away. You are the bait.
Is that like Bruce Operation Get Behind the Darkie and
yes,
the South Park movie?
Entirely. Advanced Civilization's 5 points, which leaves me with 7 points. I'm going to go ahead and...
The poor Froglocks are just hanging out here, as they have since the beginning of time.
Well, they send their little boats. They're master boatsmen, so they do merchant work
they
with everybody.
They get down to the Tadlocks, and they're like... No.
Well, they don't go to the city, but they do trade with the, you know, right. There's tons of little pockets of, you know, Tadlocks all over. So that's the way I look at it. You have the big cities, which we have marked, and then where there's, you know, villages everywhere of the race.
Well, that's why even though a race starts at Stone Age, they basically get to whatever the continent.
Well, so far we're up to steel.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and advance the Parox again because I can. It doesn't say you can only do it once a turn. So, they're going to be masters of guerrilla warfare.
Sweet. Maybe the Snotlings need to talk to them.
So they're masters of hit and fade tactics, huh?
Yes. Well, that's the only way they can fight.
That's the only way they can survive.
That's the only way they can survive. Costas. Yes. And notice they don't have a city, so you know that they're scattered throughout the jungles.
They have
and
they areas though. They live in the trees.
You should
where
make
the Costas
pacifist.
Can't get to them because they can't.
Well, they are good. They are good.
Costas are only too evil. They're just you know.
They still eat the babies of the.
They're selfish. Well, they're birds. What do you expect?
Don't eat me.
Somebody talk.
Holy crap, that bird talked.
Not anymore. Now it's in my stomach.
Yeah, now it's in my belly.
All right. Then I'm going to command the Pillar of Fire, which has just sort of been hanging out for a bit.
Hello.
Going, all right. I'm going to command him to purify the race of Azores.
You want them to be really, really good, don't you?
Actually, he's not going to do that. He's going to advance the Azers into Masters of Healing. And then I'm going to command the Skaxis. Skaxis. That's three S's in there. Command the Skaxis. And let's see. Command the Avatar. Oh, I guess I should just see.
there's still parts of the world that just don't have any pockets of life, really.
Well, there's no major race
in right, right here, there's nobody. Up in here, right there. We only have one giant critter, though.
Okay. I'll create, I'll command Skaxis to create a new order with the snotlings and the buzzard men, an order of assassins.
Okay.
An official order of assassins.
Is it called the Hassassin or Hashashin or however it's pronounced?
No, I'm not going to call it that.
The House of DDD?
DDD.
Because they'll want Daryl, to have Daryl.
Yes. 5, 10, 11, 12.
It's the HUD.
All right. And that's 12 points. Nathan, you're 12 points. Okay. What are you doing?
First, I'm going to do Command Avatar. And Solithus is going to create an order. And the Froglocks called Merchantum Imperium. And it is a merchant's guild to help other societies build merchant trade routes and stuff so that that merchandise can be spread throughout the world.
Alrighty.
That's what Solithus does. That's one point.
11 points left.
Chalk, seeing the slight evil of the people that he is an avatar for, decides he's going to create his own race.
His whole race or sub-race?
He can create race
yeah.
Once. I mean, he can't create sub-race. They can only create race.
Yeah.
So he's going to create... He's going to use his once to create a race. And he's going to create a race of jaguar men in the southern jungles called the Ixchel. Ixchel. And they will be one step towards good.
All right. You have 10 points left.
Well, I'm going to spend 7 points... to create an avatar for the Zvensk, and his name is Baragi, B-A-R-A-U-G-G-I.
Okay. You're doing what now? Sorry.
Creating an avatar for the ice giants, the Zvensk, and he's called Baragi, B-A-R-A-U-G-G-I.
Alright.
So that's 7 points. I'm going to spend a point on him to have him command to advance the civilization. He's going to advance them to become masters of survival, or experts in survival, because of the harsh climate they live in. So they're good at surviving in any sort of terrible climates. So that's 8 points from him, and plus the 2 points I already spent. So I've got 2 points left.
Yep.
And I'm going to have Darren... I have to move him, don't I?
It'll only take a point.
Okay, I'm going to move Darren to the Dwarven area, the dwarves area in the mountains, and I'm going to have him... Can I command him after I move him?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to command...
The only thing they can only do one of the godly things once, but they can do the normal thing.
And he's going to command the dwarves to become... to be masters of mithril crafting. So they make... the most amazing.
All right, leaving you with a mighty 0 points as well. All righty. That is the end of turn 5. And we will go ahead and end it at that. And
with the Tadlocks eating.
Yes. And we'll be back with some quick thoughts. That was the third foray into Dawn of Worlds. I think it's shaping up quite nicely.
It's at least shaping up weirdly.
It is.
It's a very interesting continent, and if we actually release this as a world, I think people would have a great time.
I think one thing we're planning on doing is once we're done, completely done, is to flesh it out a bit and then to release it. So
probably get rid of the microfim and the.
Oh no! I think those are funny.
I think the microfilm would be a good race. They're kind of like they're smaller than hobbits.
The microfilm are 7 feet tall. The next ones are like 5 feet tall. The microfins are like 3 feet tall, and then the nano are like a foot.
Yeah, they're like.
I'm fine with this.
Yeah, I don't have any problems.
I'm proud of this plan, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
There's so many avatars.
But I think what we'll do, because I do want to continue this, but we need to move. I think we do need to move the show on. I think what we'll do is we're gonna. In probably in 2 weeks, instead of doing a regular show, we're just going to do this and try to finish it up.
We can if you want.
And do it as the rest of this as a one shot. So rather than having several more episodes like this, we'll just try to get it out as soon as possible as far as just get everything out in the open and
what's
done.
In it?
So that's, I think it's shaping up interestingly.
Yeah, we can, once we get everything situated, we can put it out there.
Oh, yes.
As something, because, I mean,
well, as of right now, we're running on to 4 pages of notes.
Well, I like...
typed, single-spaced notes.
I like building on other people's stuff. Like, okay, so because of your guys' evil,
uh-huh.
there's a pit to hell.
Uh-huh.
And then because of the pit of hell, something came out.
Yes.
That they
and
worship.
So on. Yeah, and they yeah. worship. See, that's part of this, is just kind of building on... Now, for a GM, that's why they do say if you're actually building a fantasy world, and you're the GM... You can still say, you know, I have
yeah.
editing rights, but for what we're doing, hey, this is
yeah.
hilarious.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's a cool way to build a world. It'll take a while.
It will,
but it's something I think if you have time with your players to sit down and do,
create their
do
world
it,
that they play.
You know, have a. I mean, it really. I could see it really giving them some investment in it, and they could really feel. Your players can really feel
right.
like. We were part of this, you know. We really helped create and shape this, and we really know it.
Right,
you know?
And one thing you could do...
It's a good way for them to get history
right.
of the world, too.
And one thing they could do is, you as a GM, you could say, okay, these are the core races.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's on this world. And then just go through here and say, okay, this is what you can do.
Right.
You know, so you've built what you want to start off with, then you let the players modify it, and then you play.
Right.
Because there is some times where you have an idea,
sure.
and you want to flesh it out, so you put some controls on it.
Yeah,
but that's still fun.
Oh yeah, I think this is a good method of building a world and building a thing, building something for your character.
And you could even do this yourself
to have some fun in there. Yeah,
I mean, you could even if you were just kind of stuck, and you need to like, you could stare at your game world and be like, okay, well. I'm just going to go through here and
do this. Yeah, like you've built part of your game world.
Right.
Say, well, I only really have this area. Let's fill out another continent
right.
and do it using this type of method.
Yeah, maybe we're not going to have shape the land and climate, but we're going to have the commands and
yes.
the purify and the events.
And you guys can obviously go to our website, gamershavenpodcast.com, and there is a link to this, to the Dawn of Worlds file. It is a free file. We are hosting it on our site as well as linking to it on the original site just in case they do go down. So we're going to try to keep it available as much as possible because
right.
it looks like their site itself hasn't been updated since like 2006.
Yeah, and
so,
if the guys who created this are out there, hey, you know, give us a ring. Send us an email. We're having a lot of fun doing this.
Yeah, yeah. So we will be back right after this.
You paying attention now?
Yes.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what we're talking
about. We do know what we're talking about. You know, we called the whole Hugo Weaving Red Skull thing, remember?
Oh, right. Fine. Where was it? The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about all kinds of gaggles of...
Aaron, could you cut it with the gaggles thing? It's not working for me.
All right. Fine. The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games.
Hey, don't forget that we talk about, you know, Bruce Campbell and Christopher Lee, obviously.
Natalie Portman.
All right, guys! I'm trying to do a commercial for the Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games, tabletop gaming, all kinds of other geek stuff.
You mean that show we broadcast on Ustream?
Yes!
Wednesday, 8 Central Standard Time.
Right, at redphonezone.com. Now, can you guys just give me a minute to get this promo done?
Sure, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
All right, from the top. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone.
Aaron, we need a tiebreaker. Okay, who would win in a fight with Galactus?
Anti-Monitor.
Galactus and Anti-Monitor. Come on.
I think the more important question would be who would win in a fight between me and you two idiots.
I guess we don't know what we're talking about. we are back, and today on the three-parter, we've got a few more reviews to do. Nathan, I believe, has a what we're into, and so
what I'm into.
Or what he's into at this point.
Because, yeah, basically you guys aren't into it.
We will go ahead and kick it off with that.
What we're into.
Well, lately I have been browsing the internet, not in the bad way. As most of you guys probably know by now, I am a retro gamer. I love to play old games, and I have stumbled across a lot of sites that have some interesting products or projects that they're working on that I think really, really need to be brought to the attention of people who like retro games. The first company is a company called Infamous Adventures. And some of you might already know about them because they released, I think it was about 2 years ago, they released an upgraded graphically version of King's Quest III to Heir is Human, which is, you know, labeled by a lot of people as the best King's Quest game ever made. And where that's really neat and excellent, and the game is very well done with voice acting and everything, what you also might want to check out is that sometime this year, they're going to be releasing an upgraded version of the remake of Space Quest II, which was a very, very big game when it came out. It made a lot of money for Sierra, and is a very, very funny game. And if you've never played Space Quest II, if you've played Quest games...
I play all six.
Yeah. Space Quest, it's going to be upgraded with full mouse control, icon cursor control, and...
And this is on PC?
PC... As far as I know, it's only on the PC right now because it uses an engine called the Adventure Game Studio Engine, which I think I've talked about a couple times. And currently, it's only in beta on the Macintosh, so unfortunately, this is PC only right now. But what will really flip a lot of people's lids is they've just announced, just recently, that they're working on a new King's Quest game. Not King's Quest 9 or King's Quest 10 or, you know, a remake of any of the other King's Quest games. An actual new King's Quest game based off one of the books. There was a couple of books that came out, The Kingdom of Sorrow and two other ones. And they're actually making a game out of the Kingdom of Sorrow game, which, you know, follows King Graham, which was the original character from King's Quest. And so far, the look of the game looks incredible. Has very well done. Their standards of quality are very, very high. What I might also want to point out
is
I got to load up the page. That's not loading. Damn it.
That's not canon.
No, that's not canon. Adventure Game Studio. Okay, I got to pull it up. There's someone who's doing a project for those of you out there who love the Quest for Glory, or Heroes Quest, as it was originally called.
Heroes Quest.
Yeah, there is a new game coming out. I don't know if it's going to cost anything when it comes out, but it's called Heroine's Quest. Heroine's Quest. Yeah, it takes place in the north, the northlands of the planet, and with a female character as the main character that can play as three different classes, and goes through a completely new story. It's a new game. But it's along the same mold with, like, the character progression stuff like the old Quest for Glory games. So for anybody out there that loves those games, definitely check this out. For those of you out there who like,
Who like the Beast Cat?
Yes, who like the Beast Cat. Who like Red Dwarf, there's rumors that there's going to be a Red Dwarf game, which is interesting. But, There's two new Indiana Jones projects being done. One's the Seven Cities of Gold, and the other one I cannot find right off the top of my head. There's also a sequel. Someone is working on an independent project to create a sequel to the game Loom.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's ever played
I remember Loom.
A really good game. And where is it? There's one more. Someone's remaking Maniac Mansion. The original Maniac Mansion and the style of Day of Tentacle with the cartoony style graphics. So that'll probably be worth checking out.
Never played it, heard about it.
You never played Maniac Mansion?
No.
It was brutal. It was one of the only LucasArts games where you could die horribly constantly. So definitely check those out. They're not out yet, but I would keep my eye on them because there look to be incredibly good projects that are coming out. There's also there is a new game that actually cost money that just came out, and I can't find it, but I'll give the information to Ethan. He can put it in the notes so you guys can take a look at it.
Yeah.
Because it actually looks really, really cool. There's they're working on a new project now, which I can't find either. But if you go to their website and look at it, you can see the game that they've already made, and it looks good. So if you like classic-style adventure games, I would check out a website, www.bigbluecup.com, and that is the Adventure Games Studio website, and it has lists of games that have been released and lists of games that are currently in production.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some incredibly good games created by incredibly talented people, all like the classic point-and-click adventure games. So I highly recommend anybody who's interested in that sort of thing, check it out. There's a lot of cool games coming out. The software, the Adventure Game Studio software, is really easy to use. If you can script, you can make a game in it. You just have to have the ability to draw stick figures and backgrounds. That's it.
Cool.
And it works great. So definitely check it out.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right, so I'm going to review a couple of different things here. They're all 4E basically add-ons created by EN World, mm-hmm. individuals from
EN World. And they're released through EN Publishing, which you can get on RPG Now and all those places.
And
they're cheap.
And they're cheap. But they're not cheaply done.
No.
These are all basically either characters or character concepts with some new powers, things like that. The first one is the pirate, or pirate of the high seas. And this is if you want to build a pirate. His secondary role is a striker. His power source is martial. And they go through powers up to basically level 10. So this isn't for high levels. Looks like it was written by Matt James, a freelance writer and game designer. And it also even has a Paragon path, the Pirate Captain. And this is a neat little thing. A couple of their powers, for example, their level 3 encounter exploit is called Pistol Whip. And then you have the level 5 daily exploit, which is Death Pirate's Duel. You know, and it's very piratey. After level 10, or after the Paragon path, you would need to probably take another class, basically, mm-hmm. or build it off of another class after that.
Right.
They also have a new item called the Flintlock Pistol, which is a flintlock pistol. And it's pretty neat.
Cool weapon.
Which is pretty balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the pirate. Then we have the samurai. For those of you who want to play a samurai in 4E, again, it's only through basically levels 1 through 10. Samurai is a defender. His power source is martial. And his granted power is the Ajutsu technique.
Ajutsu.
I can't say it.
Ajutsu. Yeah, Ajutsu.
Basically, it's the really cool sword attack. And all of their powers are exploits again. And their Paragon path is the Shogun. Again, after about level 10, or the level... after the Paragon level, basically, you're going to have to go into something else. But it's a good little start. And Malcolm Northwinter is the author. Though, according to this, is Malcolm Northwinter is a powerful mage and son of a self-made noble. In the modern world, he happens to be the owner and lead designer of Northwinter Press. So he's the creator of the Samurai. And there's also some new feats and the Ancestral Katana, which is the new magical item. So that's the Samurai build. Kind of neat. You know, a good little start. We then get into specific characters built for 4E. The first one is Thor. The god Thor.
Yes.
The artwork is some old picture of Thor.
Yeah, well, it's public domain stuff.
Right.
Which is what I'm using in the superpower, some of the superpowered stuff.
Right, and the Thor one is just his stat box. Mm-hmm. Thor is a level 30 solo brute leader. One thing I noticed, though, he doesn't have the godly, the normal godly thing they have with the other gods, where they can basically, you know, once they
create
go...
avatars and all
well,
that.
Well, no, once they go bloody, they...
Oh, yes.
But that's all right. It's pretty neat. The author's name is Russell... I think it's Morrissey?
Russell Morrissey.
Yeah, he's the actual owner of the Inworld.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that, hey, are you going to use Thor in your world? I don't know. But if you do, or if you just want to have a kick-ass...
Well, yeah, and it's one of those things where, speaking entirely from a guy who plays around with systems, it's like, okay, sometimes it's fun to sit down and stat out your god or stat out just to do it.
Right.
Not that you're ever going to use... Like, I statted out Fareed once using Third Ed. He was like 2.5 pages long, but I was like, hey, it's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, you could use this as... If you don't really like the gods themselves fighting in physical form, you could just change the name of Thor and just make him a great warrior, a level 30 solo brute, of like Kord or something.
Sure.
He has only, 14...
Talking epic level stuff.
Yeah, 1,487 hit points. I mean, something ridiculous. But anyway.
Well, he is a brute.
He is a brute. So that's the first... It's from their Myths and Legends, number 5.
Very nice.
So that's the Thor. The next one is Dracula. I like this one. They statted out Dracula. And Dracula, I don't know. He's only a level 22 solo controller in this. But I think he's actually cooler than Thor. he has all the classic, vampire stuff. Bite, blood drain, dominate. He can change form. Wolf form, bat form, mist form. Spawn. If he reduces a humanoid to 0 points, they become a spawn under Dracula.
Sweet.
He has summon minions. He can summon the Vlad Wolf, a bat swarm of rats. The Taste of Blood. When he bloodies a target, he gains 25 hit points. If the target is adjacent, he immediately makes a bite attack also.
Nice.
Spider Claim, obviously, True Death. Hideous Visage. Basically, he's just horrifying to look at. And then Blend in Shadows. Now, they made the language common. I really wish they would have made it... what's the language from Transylvania?
Transylvanian?
No. Well...
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Put it in the...
Slav?
Slavic? Something
like
that.
Do they speak Slavic?
I think so.
Probably.
Somebody will correct us, but I wish they would have put that in there. But then in addition, they have Dracula's Swarm, which is a level 18 skirmisher bat, and then the Vlad Wolf, which is... Well, a freaking giant wolf. I mean, it's pretty cool. Again, from the same person who created Ian World. So there's another build from their Myth and Legends number 2. We then go into Robin Hood, which even... Actually, I'm going to come back to Robin Hood. I'm going to go to Lancelot. I like Lancelot okay. He's all right. The nice thing about these is they have the history...
Mm-hmm.
So, like, at the beginning of Lancelot, they tell you, who he was, where he's from. Same with Dracula.
Sure.
Same with Thor. Then they stat out Lancelot. Lancelot was okay. Some of his stuff... I didn't really necessarily agree with the build on Lancelot, but it did have a knightly build about it, but it... It didn't really have, to me, the Knights of the Round Table type build. It just was...
Sure.
Well, my. And then lastly was Robin Hood. Again, they have the story at the beginning about Robin Hood, his merry men, Little John, so on. And then they talk about, they set out Robin Hood. He has volley of arrows, perfect shot, flaming arrows, quick draw, split the shaft, you know, things like that. Again, from their myths and legends, really pretty cool. And then the last thing is called the Canine Companions, number one.
I need to take a look at that.
All this is it's for 4E, and this particular one is the Gaelic Warhound. And basically, it's an NPC companion character, because you can take animal companions. Some people don't really like how the animal companions work out. So there is something that was introduced in the second D&D, or second Dungeon Master's Guide. They are companion characters. They're NPCs. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's a hound. And the cool thing is they give you the history of actual Gaelic hounds. And then they stat it out. Well, they give it a personality. You can randomly choose the personality. They can also get some magic items, which they list.
And is this one from Ian Publishing?
I thought it was. Let me double check. Well, real quick, this actually stats it out from level 1 through 30. You don't really worry about leveling them up. You just basically replace the template.
Mm-hmm.
So, and usually they're either equal to or one level below.
Canine Companions is from Three Sages Games.
Right. They have new magic items on here. Now, is it fancy looking? No. Is it neat though? Yes. I mean, they have a level 30 here, Gaelic Hound. Let me get to him, which is hilarious. I mean, he's not going to take over the party and be the main epic level critter, but
mm-hmm.
Armor class 47. 203 hit points. The minimum his attacks are going to do is 18 points of damage. I mean, you know, that's not bad. Some different powers. Savage Parry Chomp. Weapon Snatch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Sounds good.
So it's a neat little thing. I'm wondering if they have more of these, like different hounds. I'm not sure if it's like that's what they do. It says it was number one, so...
Yeah, they haven't done any others since yet.
So I'm wondering if they're just going to stick with hounds.
And that one is a new release. Just come out.
Or what. But yeah, if you want just an easy... And it doesn't even have to be a hound. You could change it around and just leave the stats because it's something simple. But those are all really neat. They're kind of simple. Fun. Like I said, the Thor, Dracula, Robin Hood... Lancelot, those were all just neat builds. So yeah, check them out. RPG Now is one place you can get them.
Yep, RPG Now, and I'll put links in the show notes to go through our affiliate link for them. So check them out; they're pretty cool.
The review.
All right, I have sort of a review to talk about. I've been getting a lot of, sort of along the same lines of what Jeremy was talking about, a lot of PDFs lately. And I've been getting some PDFs from a company called Misfit Studios. Now, Misfit Studios is a company that puts out a lot of supplements for Mutants and Masterminds, the open game license D20 stuff, Unisystem, and for a lot of Savage World stuff. Their stuff usually averages out about $1.50 each, and they put out a lot of great little source book material for. I mainly look at their Savage World stuff because their Savage World stuff's great. Like they have a Dungeon Dwellers one, which gives you a Savage World right up for like a gelatinous cube.
What is it called?
Misfit Studios.
Is it on RPG Now?
It is on RPG Now, yes. And you can get like sets of like for $1.50, you're getting like sets of some five magic items, like of five magic blades for Savage Worlds, or 10 fantasy traps for Savage Worlds, the race of dark elves, the profession of the thief, dragons, stuff like that. It's actually pretty sweet, pretty cool stuff. The company puts out a puts out tons of stuff for like I said, for Superlink and for Savage Worlds. But like I said, the Savage Worlds stuff is what I've looked at most recently, and with that stuff they've got like Magic Item Axes, the Monster Brief of Dark Elves, and they've got the Race of the Dark Elves, and they've got the Thief, they've got a Monster Brief on Dragons and Dungeon Dwellers, which includes like the Gelatinous Cube and stuff like that, and you know, Magic Blades, Fantasy Traps, and the nice thing about them is that they're you can obviously tell that this Misfit Studios people doing this are fairly good artists, or they know good artists, because the art in it is not bad. It's actually quite good, and I think seeing it in print would be nice, because the layout's really nice and it looks really 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 official. And I think that's a huge part of a good PDF to me, is that it has to look appealing when I'm reading it or looking at it. And at $1.50 a piece, or really it's $1.55. This stuff, I think, is a top-notch a buy.
They have stock art, too.
Yeah, so, well, their stock art is only, like, backgrounds and stuff like that. It's not, like, actual
gives you something
images.
Though.
Yeah, it's not something. I've sort of glanced a bit at their Superlink stuff, and I've seen some of it. It's not bad. Some of it's a bit more expensive. They're the guys who put out a really cool Mutants and Masterminds Superlink product called Better Mousetrap. And what the Better Mousetrap is it's a $15 PDF. But what it is it's something you use to design a supervillain lair. It's actually really cool. But they do a lot of different things, like cosmic level threats, different hero books, that sort of thing. It's pretty cool. I'm really enjoying it. Their Super Names supplement for $2 is pretty fun. It's what it is. It's just something to help you name your superheroes. So it's Misfit Studios. I think people should don't really know about them. I think they're pretty cool. Check them out. We'll have a link in our show notes to them. That's about all I got to say about it.
Okay, Carol, now you take these notes, and then we're about ready to begin.
Oh, okay, sure.
Well, what are you two doing here? We don't record until tomorrow.
We're making a new promo for All Games Considered, since you were dragging your feet getting one written.
Hey.
She's right, though. It's been too long, and a lot has happened since the last promo.
Yeah, like winning the Gold Emmy for Best Gaming Podcast for 2009.
You mean the one you try to work into the conversation every other episode?
Hey.
Now, there's more than that. There's the new format.
You mean the main show every 2 weeks and the assortment of other features in the meantime?
Right, like games you may never have heard of, the review and new shows.
Don't forget the RPG buffet.
And on the main show, we have more time to focus on gaming topics.
Like board and card games.
And RPGs.
And the people who play them, from the old school to the newest of the new.
But no changeling. Hey!
Find out more at agcpodcast.info. All games considered, because there's more than one true way to play.
Random Encounters.
And we are back, and today on our Random Encounters, if we have a Munchies for Munchkins segment, we'll play it, of course, at the end of the show. Otherwise, the only Random Encounter I've got so far is actually from our good friend, the Eighth Pagan.
Eighth Pagan!
Eighth Pagan has sent us some stuff on Dark Sun. Said, first, I enjoyed the series of novels they did all those years ago and found the setting intriguing, but I never had the chance to play or run a campaign set there. In the olden days, when Dungeon & Dragon magazine were available on something called paper, they did a 3.5 update of Dark Sun, Dungeon 110 and Dragon 319, a DM and player's guide in the respective magazines. At the last Gen Con UK, I managed to pick up the 1991 Dark Sun box set for a bargain price of a fiver. That, of course, is for AD&D's second edition, which I still have the rules for, but will probably never play again. I won't be picking up the new book, as it's fourth edition, and I'm not really interested in fourth ed, although I've picked up the Castle Ravenloft board game, which I'm planning on breaking out at some point. Yep, as you know, I was pretty happy with the fourth ed Dark Sun. For those of you who are 3.5 guys, yes, 3.5 did an update in Dungeon 110 and Dragon 319, but also check out athas.org, yeah. athas.org. They were the official website for Dark Sun 3rd Edition, and they put out a huge amount of stuff.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of really well-done stuff, too. So if you're playing 3rd Ed or playing Pathfinder and you want some cool Dark Sun stuff, that's where you want to go. Cool stuff. But thanks again, 8th Pagan. We're always happy to hear from our listeners across the pond.
Well, and our 8th Pagan.
And our 8th Pagan,
he's our 8th Pagan.
He is ours, yes. And 8th Pagan needs to go onto our website and go to the minion map and put his pin in, because Europe is kind of lonely. We got our one viewer out, we got our one listener out in Sweden, and that's it. So,
don't we have a couple? Didn't we used to have a couple listeners in South Africa?
We do, but no one has put their pins on the minion map. Yes. So if you go to gamersavingpodcast.com, at the top navigation bar, you'll see minion map. Click on that and add in a little icon there saying where you are, and let us know. Let us spread the Gamers Haven love across the world. That's the only random encounter I got. No voicemails.
It's good for a tiring week like this.
Yes,
it's been a crazy week for everybody.
It has been a long week. And I believe we do actually have some people in the chat room. Apparently, Noah is
that we've been ignoring this whole time.
Yes, we've been. It was empty for quite a while. So
yes, it was.
We went away. Let's see, the thank you to our studio audience. Of course, I know Noah, our good Chef Gibbs, is in there. As soon as the page loads, I'll tell you who else. Yep, just Noah. Hi, Noah. We like you, Noah. We miss you, Noah. Other than that, we really don't have anything else. You know, give us a call on our voicemail line, 877-416-1270. And, enjoy stuff and whatnot.
That's right. Enjoy stuff.
Enjoy stuff.
We believe that everyone should enjoy stuff.
Yes, exactly. All right. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
That's not canon.